Hey y'all, this is Josiah Gray and this is Half Street High Heat. Hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to Half Street High Heat. If you're wondering who the unfamiliar voice is, this is Monty filling in for Nick and or Amanda. Dealer's choice, whichever one you want me to pretend I am, go ahead and do that. I'm joined by my handsome buddy, Ryan. Ryan, how are you doing?
I just want to point out the absolute fantastic journey that you have gone on. If you were in a book, your redemption arc would be unreal. Talking about not allowed on the pod, Let Monty on the Pod t-shirts, highest selling shirt in New York Times history, to being on the pod for the 100th episode, to hosting an episode. Absolutely love this for you, man.
I'm basically Steve Harrington from Stranger Things.
Does that make me Dustin?
Yeah, I think that tracks. that sounds like a good question for when we have the whole group. If we're Stranger Things cast, who would we be? So, but yeah, so here we are. We haven't done a pod in a while. It's been rough going since the Juan Soto trade, so it's been hard to get motivated to talk about the Nationals. So what we're gonna do is not talk about the Nationals. I'll briefly just mention that Joey Meneses just hit a walk-off home run to get a series win, which is rare. But other than that, I don't really want to talk about the Nationals because it makes me sad. So we're going to talk about everything but the Nationals. What do you think? How does that sound to you, Ryan?
I love baseball, man. And this team's depressing right now. So let's take a look at what's going on outside our neck of the woods.
Yeah, we only have to go a little bit up the road up the Beltway to Baltimore. The Orioles, they won another game tonight. They beat the Guardians 3-0. They are now just a game and a half back in the wild card at 69. Nice. And 61, just hanging around.
Absolutely hanging around. I love the story of the Orioles right now. Believe it or not, I love the stories when teams and people come from absolutely nowhere. And Orioles fans deserve it. It's been a rough, rough last 5 or 6 years in Baltimore, but they have tanked beautifully. They did their tank right. All of these top prospects, because every prospect they call up a prospect, that prospect graduates, the new number one prospect in baseball, it's theirs. Adley Rutschman comes up, who, by the way, is already the best catcher in baseball. Like, he's been up for 2 months, and I feel like you can't really argue against that. He just completely rejuvenizes that team, hits the ground running. They call up Gunner the other day, first hit, home run, and they're not done. They have the top pitching prospect, who I genuinely believe is going to be an ace. Oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? He's my favorite pitcher in MLB The Show.
Grayson Rodriguez.
Oh my goodness. I literally have his jersey. God, I'm a terrible person. Yes, Grayson Rodriguez is coming up, and that is going to be fun. The Orioles have a lot of good depth, and I really want them to make a run. I mean, they're making the run right now, but like the Orioles making the playoffs and securing a wild card spot would be so funny because that means they would probably beat out the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays are absolutely all in.
Yeah, we'll talk probably about the Blue Jays a little bit later when we talk about some disappointing teams, but it's funny that I just heard you mention that you love it when teams come out of nowhere and win games, but yet last year when the Giants did that, you hated them. So
the Giants were frauds and they are currently in last place in the NLS. They're tied with the Diamondbacks for fourth. My apologies.
Diamondbacks have been really good lately, but we're not going to talk about that much either. We're still talking about the Orioles. So you mentioned Adley Rutschman. Since he's come up, they are 53-37 since May 21st when he made his debut.
I believe that's the best record in the AL East in that span.
I believe so, yeah, because the Yankees have not been good after the All-Star break, and then the others have just been kind of going back and forth. But they were 16-24 on May 21st, and I know how Nats fans love to talk about 19-31 on May, 24th, and this could be the Orioles version if they make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be World Series contenders, but stranger things has happened. And, well, it's funny I just said stranger
things. Sure has, Steve.
No pun intended from earlier. I want to talk about their pitching real quick, because they've just won three straight series, the Orioles have, against teams in the playoff hunt. They took 2 of 3 from Chicago, the White Sox, who, again, we're going to talk about later in terms of the most disappointing teams. But they also took 2 of 3 from the AL's best Houston Astros team, in which the Astros only scored 4 runs over 3 games. And their starting pitching only gave up 2 earned runs. And then they just took 2 of 3 from the AL Central leading Guardians. So they're just finding ways to win. And I wanted to talk about their pitching, particularly these three guys. It's Kyle Bradish, Dean Kramer, and who do you think the third one is?
Say his name.
Austin Voth, right? Now, if you haven't heard of two of these guys, in Kyle Bradish or Dean Kramer, I don't blame you. They're kind of supposed to be, I think their top end is supposed to be like middle of the rotation starters. And yet in his last 7 starts, Kyle Bradish, 2-1, 2.72 ERA. He went 6 scoreless tonight. He went 8 scoreless against the Astros in Houston last weekend. And he's been lights out. Dean Kramer, he's arguably been the most consistent Orioles starter over the course of the season. He's 6-4, 3.24 ERA, and in Houston, 7 2/3 of 1-run innings. And then, of course, everyone should be aware now of Austin Voth. I tweet about it every time he starts. Since he joined the Orioles, 4-2, 2.72 ERA. That's in 16 games, 12 of which were starts. He outpitched Dylan Cease 10 days ago.
Cy Young candidate.
Yep. He went toe to toe with Justin Verlander. And, you know, lights out. And he would have gone 6 scoreless against the Astros in that last start, but he walked the leadoff guy in the top of the 7th, and the reliever that came in to relieve him allowed that run to score, and he took the loss. But Austin Voth has been unbelievable. It's been really fun to watch him. And I know I text you every time and it hurts you a little bit on the inside, because, you know, I said we wouldn't talk about the Nationals, but you can't talk about Austin Voth and talk about the girl that got away.
I'm literally looking at his baseball reference right now, and we all watch Voth. He would have a couple good starts and then turn a complete dog water. It was just infuriating, because the tools were there. The spin rate was there. The movement was there. He just couldn't figure it out. He had an ERA over 10 before the Nats DFA'd him. He was the worst pitcher in baseball. He was worse than Patrick Corbin at the time, who Patrick Corbin is now the worst pitcher in baseball. Patrick Corbin sucks. But the dude goes to Baltimore, and in 60 innings, he's a 2.7 ERA. I don't think the Nats have a pitcher with an ERA under 4. He has a 2.7 ERA. He's figured it out. It's clicked. His whip has almost halved. His hits per 9 has halved. His home runs per 9 halved. His walks per 9 is the same. His strikeouts per 9 is lower. It's just absolutely insane. The transition that we have seen from him is just infuriating.
And he's doing it in the AL East, which, by the way, all 5 teams are within, I think, 8 games of a playoff spot. The Red Sox are likely not anywhere near making the playoffs, but they're in theory hanging around 500 or 4 or 5 games under 500. But yeah, they're doing that in the hitter friendly AL East now
with great lineups.
Yeah. And speaking of lineups, the Orioles lineup, well, again, it's, you know, pardon Dennis Eckersley referring to the Pirates lineup a couple weeks ago as a hodgepodge of nothingness. This is a hodgepodge. It's not nothingness, but it's a bit of a hodgepodge.
They got pieces. They have good pieces in this lineup, and they're close. Like Cedric Mullins, fantastic. Austin Hayes, fantastic. Adley Rutschman, dog. Ryan Mountcastle having a pretty good year. Gunnar Henderson's looking really good. Jorge Mateo is a fantastic surprise. Like, this is a team that if they add a guy like Trey Turner, because they offer Carlos Correa $300 million, and they add someone like JD Martinez or another big bat, they're going to be a problem. Like, this lineup is close. The whole team's close. But one or two pieces from just being a top 10 lineup.
Well, and adding somebody like Trey Turner would be so cool because they already like to run. Mateo and Mullins are the top two leaders in the American League in stolen bases. Mullins has 29. Mateo has 28. They like to run. So if you add somebody like Trey Turner in there, that makes it even more fun. Especially, I mean, obviously Mateo would probably move from shortstop. Probably
second.
Yeah.
Gunner would be a third.
Yeah, and then you'd have Trey at shortstop, and that you'd have those three with Cedric Mullins just demons on the base paths. But the other thing, it's funny, we mentioned Adley is getting better each and every time I see him play offensively, and he is actually of the eight position players, not including a DH because their top DH was Trey Mancini, who they traded. The other seven position players all have double digit home runs. The only guys under a 700 OPS is Jorge Mateo and Rougned Odor. So again, it's a hodgepodge of guys, but they're pieces, like you said, as opposed to somebody like the Pirates, who is a hodgepodge of nothingness. So it's fun to watch, and I try not to root for the Orioles out of principle. I don't like their owner, who robbed us of mass and money, and I like to bag on the entire state of Maryland in general. So
fact.
I like to troll. Yeah. I like to troll and say that, you know, I hate the Orioles and I hate Maryland, but I am secretly rooting and enjoying the run, and I'm tuning into them all the time. So that's what we've got on the Orioles. We could probably spend a whole episode. We could probably just turn into an Orioles podcast at this point with what we can talk about.
I think the people would love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's the nice thing is it looks like a lot of Nationals fans have jumped on that bandwagon. I know everyone's enjoying Adley Rutschman. And again, it was great to see Gunnar Henderson, and he swung so hard, his helmet fell off, and he's got a great head of hair. As somebody who's losing his hair, I'm always jealous of the lettuce, and it looked really good. Gave me some Bryce Harper vibes going around the bases. You know, back when Bryce was, you know, was real young and had, oh man, that's going to make me sad again. Okay, sorry. All right. Moving along. We are moving on to let's talk award races. Where do you want to start?
So let's start the AL MVP.
I thought you'd want to start there. Your boy.
My boy. So the AL MVP is now just a two-man race. There's a time when three people had a legit argument of being a unanimous MVP. Don't know what's going on with Jordan. Jordan's kind of fallen off. So the MVP right now is just between Otani and Judge. So I'm gonna present an argument. I'm gonna ask you a question, Monty.
All right.
So right now, Shohei Otani has a lower ERA than Corbin Burns, who won the NL Cy Young last year. His ERA right now is lower than Robbie Ray's was last year when Robbie Ray won this AL Cy Young. Robbie Ray's ERA last year led the American League. Otani's ERA is lower than that. He has more home runs than the second place AL MVP in Vlad Jr. He's also on pace to have more home runs than the last three. 2020 was 2 years ago. I can't count. The last two NL MVP award winners. And he's the first player in MLB history to hit 30 home runs and win 10 games in the same season. So I ask you this. Aaron Judge is the front runner right now because playing for the Yankees, chasing history. Does Aaron Judge have to break Maris's record in order to win the MVP? Or do you think Judge already has it locked up?
Oh, that's tough because we're depending on the journalists who vote on this to vote correctly. And that's tough because he's got the New York media and he's got the East Coast bias. And breaking Roger Maris's record is massive. And the Yankees are competing for the playoffs. And so you've got the whole argument of best player or most valuable, which is going to be an argument till the end of time. But that splits voters too. If I have a vote, I'm going Ohtani, regardless of what Aaron Judge does. It's just unbelievable what he's doing. And at the same time, we should not grow complacent with what he's doing. And I think we're in danger of that already. It's year two of him being really, really amazing. And it feels like the game is already getting a little bit complacent about what he's doing. And it's still extraordinary. He's not going to be able to keep this up for a long time. So it's tough because Aaron Judge is on a playoff team. He is producing, and Maris's record is a big deal in New York, and it's a big deal anywhere. I mean, I'm trying to think, is anyone not accused of PEDs has never broken? I think Sammy Sosa probably passed it twice, Mark McGwire, and then Barry Bonds. But I don't think anyone else has passed Roger Maris.
Everyone who has, like you said, was accused of PEDs. Like Yankees gets the Yankee bias, the media bias, playoff team. But last year was the first time since the 90s when both MVPs didn't make the playoffs. So are we seeing a shift?
I think the advanced stats, I wonder how many of the journalists have moved away a little bit from the valuable part argument, which, it's a tough situation. And I think if he does break Roger Maris's record, I think the journalists could go his way, but it should be Ohtani regardless. In my opinion, just because of what he's doing is just so incredible. And that's, again, assuming he's keeping up with the pitching side and hitting size for the last month of the season.
Yeah. Ohtani is the best player in baseball. I'm ready to crown it.
Yeah. And yeah, I know we've talked about it, and it's one of the worst things for me because I stay up late, but I don't try to stay up late. And if I miss a lot of those West Coast games, and of course the Angels not being very good, it's not as easy to tune into those games. If they were competitive, you might tune into them more, but yeah, he's just unbelievable. Kind of reminds me of a situation over in Europe when Messi and Ronaldo are at the top and like somebody else has a really, really good season and it doesn't matter just because what Messi and Ronaldo were doing at the time, that no one else is going to win the award. And that's kind of what Ohtani's doing without an equal. So sorry to bring up that sport.
Hold on. That was a good segue because Vale Rookie of the Year race is kind of like that right now.
That's a good point. We've talked about this as well, right? And by the way, Julio, I saw him hit a bomb this afternoon, and he's just J-Rod hitting off E-Rod in Detroit today. It was so, so nice. Yeah, we talked about it. Him and Adley Rutschman are generational players. And then there's Stephen Kwan, who is just chugging along.
Also and, having a good year.
Yeah. And he's a distant third. And Cleveland, I think, came out and was complained that, like, I think it was Cleveland's official account.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it came out and had said, like, oh, why don't they talk about him? It's because we're a small market, as if Seattle and Baltimore are massive.
Noted big markets.
Yeah. So Stephen Kwan's fun to watch, but he's like the little engine that could. He's not generational. He's a solid bat, but he's not J-Rod or Adley Rutschman.
If you had a vote in the AL Rookie of the Year race, who are you going?
Oh man, that's tough. Because the impact that Adley has had, not just offensively, but I feel like a lot of the pitching, he stabilized a lot of the pitching in Baltimore as well. And I think that might give me the reason to give him the edge, just because the catcher is, it's like almost talking about a quarterback in football who's having a good year versus a wide receiver who's having a really good year, because Julio Rodriguez he's good defensively, but like most of his impact is offensively. And right. Then Adley Rutschman is handling a pitching staff, and I'd say Adley Rutschman for me.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, it's a tough call. It's by a hair. I would not be mad either way.
Yeah, I agree with that. They they both deserve it. Like, they're both generational players who are going to be so freaking good for so long. I just gotta go Adley, the way he juvenized an Orioles team that was supposed to come in dead last.
Yeah, I am so excited for this generation, this younger generation of baseball players, you know, and that even includes people like Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, you know, PED suspension notwithstanding, but like this younger generation is going to be around a long time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Amen, brother.
So a Cy Young for AL. I think it's pretty cut and dry. Verlander is out, I believe, right now, but it shouldn't be too long. I think maybe two or three starts. But to me, he's got to be the clear number one. As much as it pains me to say, for anyone who knows, I have a personal vendetta against Justin Verlander. We're not going to get into it on the podcast. But to me, he's the cut and dry leader. Shane McClanahan of the Rays might have had a chance to catch him, but he's on the IL again. And then Dylan Cease has stumbled a little bit down the stretch here.
I'm going with my preseason pick, who I said figured it out. I said he was a thrower. Now he's a pitcher. I'm going my boy. I'm going Dylan Cease.
Oh, I didn't remember your preseason pick. I was about to be real mad if you said I'm going with my boy Justin Verlander.
No, my preseason pick for AL Cy Young was Dylan Cease, and he's got a 2.27 ERA. He's having a good year. I think he does it.
That Verlander-Dylan Cease matchup, I guess probably about 2 weeks ago now, it was a playoff-like atmosphere in Chicago to watch those two go head-to-head, and it was a lot of fun. Verlander, obviously, he got the W there and out-dueled Cease, but it was a fun match in Chicago, and I believe the White Sox did come back and win that game, but Verlander outpitched Cease in the two the game within a game there. But yeah, I was really worried that you're going to go with your boy Justin Verlander and the betrayal there. I might have just logged off.
I can't do that to a homie.
Did you see somebody? They did a bet on the six award races, and they had Otani, or I think they had Aaron Judge as the AL MVP, which is possible. They had Shane McClanahan as the AL Cy Young. That's possible, but not likely with him being out probably for, you know, till right before the playoffs. He had J-Rod as Rookie of the Year. And then on the NL side, he had Paul Goldschmidt and as NL MVP. And then the NL Cy Young, he had as Sandy Alcantara. And then Spencer Strzok. Yeah, and it sucks because it was a $1 bet that I think he could have won $7,000 on. If he rides it out. And I think they were offering him 60 to cash out, which you would think not to cash out, but with McClanahan probably out until right before the playoffs, he's probably not going to win that parlay. But I thought that was nuts because. Speaking of people on a tear, I'm not going to talk about too much, but Goldschmidt and Arenado in St. Louis.
Dude, that line right now, that lineup is just humming. They're the best lineup in baseball since the All-Star break. Funny, they didn't go for Soto. I thought that was a mistake. Well, they're not missing him. Paul Goldschmidt, MVP in my eyes, obviously. He's having one of the best seasons we've seen from active players since Bryce's 2015. He's on the Triple Crown watch. He's a little behind in a couple of categories, but I think he could do it. The dude is just having an outrageous, outrageous season. And then the 1-2 punch with Arenado, who, Coors Effect, I was told wasn't good.
Oh, but real quick, I got a question for you. Trivia question.
Yes.
Last time an NL player won the Triple Crown.
That's a good question. Miggy was the last one to win it.
Yep. And
I don't know who won it before him.
Yeah, it's tough because it hasn't happened since 1937. I believe it was Joe Medwick, also of the same.
Not real. Finals.
Not real, because it happened before World War II. Baseball didn't exist. Birds aren't real.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, because Yastrzemski did it for the Red Sox in the 60s or 70s, but that's American League still. So it's been a long time since the National League has had a Triple Crown winner. And Austin Riley is probably going to come in third, but it's got to come down to Arenado and Goldschmidt. And to me, Goldschmidt's just been so unreal. And it's funny because the Cardinals – until just after the All-Star break, they were in second in the division, kind of around 500, not very good. The pitching wasn't great. And then Goldschmidt has been on a tear pretty much ever since, both of them. It's just every day I get the Baseball Reference newsletter and it's like looking at the pitching matchups. I feel like Goldschmidt's on there every day and I'm like, my goodness, he just owns every pitcher he's facing right now.
I mean, it is just, you just have to admire it. They got the Cardinals devil magic and it's going to show up in the playoffs again.
Yeah, and it's funny because we're talking about Arenado and Goldschmidt. People are talking about Pujols going for 700 and it being his final year and Yadier Molina's final year. Not enough people are talking about Adam Wainwright, who is still leading this pitching staff at age 40. And I believe he's got a 3.19 ERA or something like in the low threes, really doing well leading that pitching staff that is without Jack Flaherty and Steven Matz. And, you know, they got Jordan Montgomery at the trade deadline, Jose Quintana, who those two guys have really helped. But a lot enough people, in my opinion, talk about Adam Wainwright. Did you get a chance to see his pregame like thing on Sunday? Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked, and that was just thrown together because of the rain delay. But yeah, anyway, so for you, it's Arenado or Goldschmidt, but you're leaning Goldschmidt, right?
Yeah, I think Goldschmidt wins pretty easily.
Yeah, I think in terms of war, I think they're very close. But for me, Goldschmidt's just got the flashier offensive numbers. And again, great defense. So, and I think the Cardinals, all four of their guys last year, I think the award's overrated, but all four of their infielders won gold gloves last year, didn't they?
Yes. That is the best defensive team in baseball. It's not close.
Yeah, so... So let's move on to the NL Cy Young. And again, just like the AL, this is probably pretty cut and dry. It's got to be Sandy Alcantara, right?
Dude, Sandy Alcantara, what a year he's having. Leads the league in innings, really not close. Saw some stats about him. So from May 11th through August 15th, that's 18 outings. He went 7 innings and 6 of them. He had 3 complete games in that span. He also went a 9 shutout against the Nats, but that doesn't count. He went 9-3 with a 1.64 ERA in that span, basically solidify himself as a Cy Young. He did hit a little bumpy road. He had his worst start of the season, got lit up by the Dodgers. 6 runs, 10 hits, didn't make it through 4 innings, absolutely annihilated against them. But he did what Cy Youngs do. He went complete game, 1 run, 10 strikeouts against the Dodgers in the same week against a very, 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 very good Dodgers lineup. He complete game them. Just absolutely outrageous. That's how he bounced back. And it's not close. He's going to become the first Marlins pitcher to win the Cy Young, in my opinion. Corbin Burns, he's flirting with it, has an argument, but I don't think it's as strong of an argument as Sandy has.
I was going to ask you who was second because I was like, Tony Gonsolin's having a great year, but I doubt his strikeout numbers are high enough.
Gonsolin's hurt now.
Oh, that's right. And then
Max
missed some time. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Corbin Burns, he's fun to watch too. But yeah, it's fun to. I mean, I'll tune into the Marlins. They've got a bright future, but I don't necessarily trust them to do what they're supposed to do to capitalize on that. Because even though they've had new owners, their history shows that they tend to squander their talent. So.
They're just not paying people.
Right. So, we just talked about the Dodgers with Gonsolin. I'm going to go ahead and skip the NL Rookie of the Year conversation because I don't want to talk about the Braves too much. It's probably between Spencer Strider and Michael Harris. And
yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't care. So, Braves player is going to win NL Rookie of the Year. We can move on. I'd apologize to the Braves, any Braves listeners, but I don't care. We're moving along to the Dodgers. They just had a 3-game series with the Mets. Big monster series and potential NLCS matchup. In an ideal world, I think that would be my matchup, the two best teams in the National League throughout the season, matching up those two pitching staffs. What any thoughts on the series in particular?
What a fun series, not even just this week, the whole season series. Mets won the season series, 4-3. It's just fun. Like, we talked about how great the Dodgers are. They're historically good. The run they're on right now is outrageous. The Yankees were the first team to 70 wins on August 1st. On August 1st, they beat the Dodgers to 70 wins on August 1st. It's September 1st, and the Dodgers now have 90 wins. So, like, the Dodgers are hot. And I hope this is an NLCS preview, because love seeing the two best teams in baseball go at it. And both of these teams' strengths match up so well against each other. The Dodgers lineup is ridiculous. The Mets rotation is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, because, like, as much as I like underdogs, I still really enjoy when the best teams just grind into it head to head. And this series, I thought, was kind of I think it was very interesting. It went the way I would think it did. The Mets won, like you said, they won the season series, but this series in Queens in particular went how I thought it would. And the Dodgers didn't even have to face Max. They faced Taijuan Walker on Tuesday, and that's the one game they did end up winning. By the way, all the games were close. They lost to DeGrom on Wednesday.
What an outrageous catch in center field. Brandon Nimmo, if you didn't see it, by the way, probably the catch of the year, robbed a home run in the seventh, had to run directly behind him in center field, which is the toughest play for an outfielder to make. Outrageous catch. Highly recommend you looking it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then today, Clayton Kershaw made his return from another back injury, I believe. And Mets had Chris Bassett on the mound, who doesn't get talked about enough because of Max and DeGrom. But Chris Bassett is going to be a problem in the playoffs, because you're going to get past Max and you're going to get past DeGrom, and you might be down 2-0 at that point. And now you've got Chris Bassett, who has been a monster this season. I think he's got a 3.30 ERA, something around there. And then you get past him and they've got some, you know, you've got Taijuan Walker, who's been pretty good. And that's assuming they don't go back to Max or Jake on short rest. So, like you said, the Mets rotation against the Dodgers lineup is great. And I wrote an article. I think for me, the Dodgers are going to win 114 games, probably like 110 plus, like you said, historically great. But because of that pitching staff, and I feel like the Mets made some really savvy acquisitions and are built for October a little bit better in the pitching department. Because the Dodgers are going to have to depend on Clayton Kershaw, who is historically not great in the playoffs. Tony Gonsolin, who doesn't have much playoff experience, especially as a starter. Andrew Haney, and is it Tyler Anderson? Yeah, Tyler Anderson. There's too many Andersons, so I was trying to make sure it wasn't Chase Anderson. Tyler Anderson, those two guys, they don't have much in terms of experience. You're going to be depending on them. You've got Urias, who does pitch well in the postseason. And then you've got Dustin May, who you don't even know if he's going to be a starter or out of the bullpen. And to me, you've got the Mets four, which include Scherzer, who, as we've seen as Nats fans firsthand, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's going to grind out results. And they've got the best current closer in baseball right now in Diaz, whereas the Dodgers have a struggling closer in Kimbrel.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, it's the Dodgers. Like, they'll call up just nobodies. I mean, look at Tyler Anderson. He's good all of a sudden. But you make good points, and I kind of agree with you. I think the Mets actually line up that one pretty, pretty well.
Yeah, and that's why I need this NLCS to happen. Even as much as I like underdogs, I really want to just find out if I'm right. that the Mets are built, and it's tough because I don't want to root for the Mets either, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm just looking for good baseball.
Yeah.
And I know that's not how a lot of listeners might agree with, because the emotions, we don't necessarily want to root for an NL East team, but at the end of the day, you can always root for them to beat the Dodgers and then lose to whoever the American League, especially if it's the Orioles somehow. So the Dodgers are going to have another big series coming this weekend. They're facing the Padres. I've got an article coming out tomorrow morning that will preview the three big series a little bit more extensively. And then it actually covers all of the series that are going to be taking place this weekend. It's going to have game times. The three big series are going to have the probable pitchers. It's going to have everyone who's on a national broadcast, and it's going to have the playoff picture. My three big series this weekend, it's going to be Seattle is heading to Cleveland. They just played a four-game series last weekend in Seattle. Seattle took 3 of 4 at home. That one's interesting. You want to hear the Mariners really have a little bit of an advantage there because they've set up their pitching staff a little bit better. They're going to have Luis Castillo going Friday, Robbie Ray Saturday, and the rookie George Kirby going Sunday. On the flip side, the Guardians are going Plesac, Civale, and Quantrill with Bieber and McKenzie, their two best, missing this series. And it's critical because the Guardians are just they are just game and a half up on the Twins in the AL Central and just and 4.5, I believe, up on the White Sox. So big series between two small market teams that are pushing for the playoffs. Mariners haven't made the playoffs since 2001.
Mariners are hot right now. I'm trying to pull up what the record is over the streak. 41-19. That's the best record in the AL over the last 60 games. 41-19, absolutely hot. Luis Castillo has a 2.84 ERA since I got him, including two wins over the Yankees. So that's going to be a fun one. I mean, the Mariners are throwing their top three at him. I'm excited to watch it. Mariners are a fun team. They're 41-19. So dumb. They're 41-19 over the last 16. They're still double digit back of the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros are just going about their business. But yeah, it's funny that we mentioned Luis Castillo, how good he's been and how he's got two wins over the Yankees in that span. Because he's beaten the Yankees at least three times this year. Because he did it, he had 7 shutout innings when he was with the Reds. And the Yankees didn't get him. They wanted him. They ended up going Frankie Montas, who has not been very good since they've acquired him. And meanwhile, Castillo has been brilliant and beaten him twice.
He went 8 shutout against him.
Yep. So Mariners, Guardians, if you're looking for games outside of the Nationals or some of the normal big names, right now I don't see any of the games being necessarily nationally broadcast, but you can watch all of them on MLB TV. The second big series I've highlighted, we just talked about them, the Yankees. They're going to be going to Tampa, St. Pete, the Trop, taking on the Rays in an AL.
Only 6 games back.
Yep. And yeah, the Yankees, we just talked about it. You just mentioned the Yankees on August 1st were the first team to 70 wins. How many wins do you think they have right now on September 1st?
78.
Close. I got 79. Is it 78?
Damn it. Yeah, 70. It was 78 this morning.
Well, it might still be 78 or somebody.
No, it's updated, 79.
Okay, at 79, I was like, oh, man, did I mess something up here? They are 15-24 since the All-Star break. I wrote an article about them. For me, as good as they are, they're going to have issues in the playoffs, and we're going to see some interesting things here. They've got Domingo Herman going Friday, Clark Schmidt, the youngster, going Saturday, and Frankie Montas, who we just mentioned, going on Sunday. So no Garrett Cole, no Nestor Cortez. The Rays haven't announced their Saturday or Sunday starters, probably trying to figure it out after McClanahan has gone to the IL. Jeffrey Springs, who's very quietly had a very good season for them, starting on Friday. It's just the Rays being the Rays.
The Yankees are there's something. I was pulling up my stat. Hold on. I got 1 second. Give me a stat 1 second. Okay, so you mentioned Garrett Cole. I wanted to bring this up because the Yankees are absolutely fumbling right now, and I knew they would because their pitching doesn't have that many innings of experience in a season, and they're starting to crumble. Garrett Cole in his last 5 starts, 33.1 innings, 34 Ks, 0.9 whip. He's got a 2.16 ERA, 4 quality starts, and the Yankees are 1-4 in that span.
Yeah, and then the other thing you got to be concerned about, they've gotten a lot out of Nestor Cortez, but his career high in any professional season was 112 innings.
Exactly.
And he passed that, I think, 4 starts ago.
He's not used to it.
Yeah, so you're going to have to start worrying about a decline there. We mentioned Frankie Montas has been struggling. The other big thing, they are a feast or famine offense.
It's Aaron Judge and a bunch of Italians.
Yeah, and they're just hoping to hit home runs. And if they don't hit home runs, they don't win. And it's putting more stress and pressure on Aaron Judge, which is not what you want either.
Yeah, I mean, teams that rely on the home run ball don't tend to do well in October because the pitching is at its best in October. The weather is colder. Now, really doesn't matter, and you're playing in the Little League ballpark, which everyone hates on Yankee Stadium. I respect the living hell out of that. They built their stadium to benefit their team. More teams should do it. I respect the way Yankee Stadium's built. That's a different conversation. So may help them. But in August, Yankees offensive players accrued 2.4 F4. Aaron Judge accrued 1.8 of that himself. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting series. They're on the road in St. Pete. And like you said, the Rays are suddenly back in the race. And if the Rays are in the race, you know, the Blue Jays and Orioles can't be too far behind. It's a 6-game difference between the Yankees and the Rays. They take 2 of 3, and all of a sudden it's a five games with, you know, with a whole month to go in the season. It's the AL East all of a sudden not quite a lock anymore. So that's a series to keep an eye on. They will get 2 MLB Network games if you're not in their broadcast areas. So if like us, you live in this the DC area or the Virginia, Maryland area, you'll be able to watch them on Friday on MLB Network at 7:10 and Sunday afternoon on MLB Network at 1:40. Final series we're going to talk about before we get to our final topic, Padres and Dodgers. It's supposed to be a big rivalry. It's not. It is, but it's not, because it's pretty one-sided right now.
Yeah, Dodgers like 99-1 in their last 100 games.
Yeah. It was something like 16-2 or 16-3.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Which is what you would expect if they were playing the A's every week, like 19 times, or the Nationals 19 times, which is funny because the Nationals have the Dodgers number, so that they're lucky the Nationals aren't going to make the playoffs.
I mean, all I'm saying is they're 41-9 over the last 50, and they lost a series to the Nats. So makes you think.
Yeah, and they're going to be going with their pitching is going to be Dustin May on Friday. He's coming back. I think it'll be his second or third start since he's come back from his major injury and surgery. Julio Urias, who's basically the ace of the staff at this point, with Clayton Kershaw bouncing back and forth to the IL and Walker Buehler out. And then Andrew Haney, who all of a sudden is a stud, which I still just can't get my head around, pitches on Sunday on ESPN, which the Padres at Dodgers will be an ESPN game. And then Dodgers are going to counter with Darvish on Friday, Manaea on Saturday, and Clevinger on Sunday. So no Joe Musgrove in a massive series. How do you see this one unfolding? More of the same?
So this is a big, big, big series for the Padres. They're just like, they can't get out of their own way. Hader did get his first save. But like, I'm going to go with history. I think the Dodgers won 2 of 3. Like, the Padres are their little brother. And I think the Dodgers just go with it. Everyone has that team that no matter what, they just can't beat them. And that's the Padres with the Dodgers. They just cannot beat the Dodgers no matter who they have.
And that's the thing. And they got to exercise that demon if they ever want to get to the World Series. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen. For the Nationals, they didn't necessarily have a specific team that was their bugaboo in the playoffs. It was just the first round, right? So as soon as we exercised, the wild card game or the division series, whichever one it was, that was like, we got this. We're going to win the World Series now. And until the Padres can prove they can beat the Dodgers, they're not going to the World Series.
I agree. I mean, we saw with the Caps, you got to exercise your demons.
Yes,
Nats exercise their demons, and they just broke through. It's going to take one of those lucky bounces that just goes your way that never seems to go your way. A call you never get, but it's unreal ownage. Like, I feel like the Padres players all know it too, because they just cannot beat them.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because at that point there's like a psychological edge there that kind of keeps the advantage in the Dodgers' corner, because the moment something doesn't go right for the Padres, it's, you know, here we go again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very real thing in sports. Like,
that's where the curses, I think, actually, they're not necessarily real, but that's where the curses, I think, play a factor in players' mind, you know.
Yeah, and like, you feed off the crowd starts getting nervous and anxious, they start feeding off that. It's a little different baseball than it is in other sports, but still, it's a big thing, especially when you're playing like in San Diego. There's gonna be a lot of Dodgers fans there anyways, but no, I mean, it's a mental thing, and the Padres need to make a statement, because like, the Padres are a good team. That's a great roster. It's not close to the Dodgers roster. That's because the Dodgers are a super team, but like, the Pirates swept them. Anything's possible, man.
The problem is that only Soto and Machado have been hitting. So Machado's trying to force into the NL MVP conversation as well, because he's been enjoying hitting behind Juan Soto.
Oh yeah, he's loving life. And Soto, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wearing my Juan Soto City Connect jersey right now. I'm a massive Padres fan.
Juan Soto went from just a disgusting situation. No, absolutely no protection whatsoever. He had the ghost of Nelson Cruz hanging behind him this year. Last year, he didn't really have anyone behind him either. And look at that. Look at that. Finally gets the greatest protection you could absolutely get. And he gets it in Manny Machado. Like, that is just a dream come true for the next 3 years for him.
Yeah, I was watching I've watched a bunch of Padres games since we sent him over there. And it cracks me up, because pitchers don't want a piece of Juan Soto. So they will walk him. And then the problem is then Machado is just going to feast. And that's what's happened. And the problem is the rest of the offense, Josh Bell has struggled. Brandon Drury has done a few things, but it hasn't been great. Cronenworth hasn't done much. So the rest of the lineup's kind of letting them down. But those two, it's fun to watch, because how do you pitch? And that's what makes me really mad about the Tatis situation, because I feel robbed of watching those three go back to back to back. And I'm mad at Tatis, not because he cheated. I'm mad because he's deprived me. I'm mad because he got caught and deprived me of the enjoyment of watching those three go hit back to back to back in a lineup.
Could you imagine how electric those three would be, just feeding off each other and all the electricity? Like, Tatis leading off, Soto second, Machado third, Bell fourth. Fantastic lineup.
I'm getting so mad.
Playoffs? Oh my God.
Yeah, we've got to wait till next year, I guess. It makes me so mad, because I was really excited about it. And then that news broke, and I was like, how could you do this? I took it personally.
I took it personally. I love the guy.
Yeah, he did that to me. Yeah, I love watching Tatis. I don't care about the only reason I care about the PD thing is because he has robbed me of the 80 games. Is that how long the suspension is? Yeah, robbed me of seeing him in that lineup. Because, again, I like watching good baseball. And I love the three personalities, even though he's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But the other two, I mean, Tatis and Soto, I love those two guys. But Padres, Dodgers, MLB Network Saturday night. They'll be on ESPN on Sunday as the primetime game there. And then finally, we're going to hit our last topic. We're going to talk about some disappointing teams. Ryan, I hate to tell you, we're talking disappointing teams, but like I said, we're not talking about the Nationals, so you cannot bring up the Nationals.
I'm going to go for a team that was right about, just because I like being right, and the Boston Red Sox. Last place in the AL East, 5 games under 500. My buddy is a big Red Sox fan, and I told him before the beginning of the season, they were going to finish closer to last place than they do first place. And he said, no, this is a 90-win team. And I said, they're not even an 80-win team. Where are you getting that from? And they're 63 and 68. I was right. They had playoff hopes. A lot of people expected the playoffs from them. You can mention the White Sox, but gotta go with Red Sox. 5 games under 500. You know, the division is playing very well, but they aren't. So, I mean, that roster was Xander, Devers, JD Martinez. It's a good roster, and they're just underperforming all around.
Yeah, I didn't even think that. Well, it's funny you also called the Red Sox being good last year when not many people were. So it's interesting that you were able to see both both situations there.
Monty, here's the thing.
I'm not going to like what the statements. Wait, go ahead, Ryan.
I know ball. I just know ball. All right?
You know ball, and you don't let emotions get in the way, and I think you're missing out because it's fun to get emotions in there. But you do you.
I'm a robot.
That's fine. Yeah, just I'm going to go ahead and live in my dreams, and you go ahead and stay in reality. For me, I'm going to go with the White Sox. I could go with the Blue Jays. I could go with the Yankees. I could even go with the Padres, but I am going to go with the White Sox. They've had a lot of injuries, but that AL Central is supposed to be a cakewalk. And they're one game under 500. They are, I think, five games back. I think I mentioned earlier on the show, but they are 4.5 back in the AL Central, 6 back in the wild card, and not great. I will say what I do really enjoy is somehow Johnny Cueto has come out of nowhere and been like 10 years younger.
Yeah, how random is that?
Yeah, I think I tweeted out today. I said, when is somebody going to tell Johnny Cueto that it's not 2012?
Just beyond random. The White Sox are a good pick. The other teams you mentioned have a playoff spot. They are underperforming, especially for the standards they expected. But White Sox are under 500 in the worst division in baseball when they had high hopes. And Tony La Russa is going to be fired. And guess what, Monty? What? Guess what? What? I was right again. Most
people were right about
that. I don't care about that. I don't care. I mean, no, like you said, everyone was. He's friends with the owner. That's why he got the job. That's the only reason why he hasn't been fired in season. He's going to be fired in the offseason where it's more graceful. But what a atrocious hire. Not a fit for that team. Took a great, great roster and just fumbled.
Yeah, I believe he's on a leave of absence right now.
Yeah, I saw he stepped away for some health issues, and I do hope everything is okay. I think I saw that his tests were clean, which is good.
Yeah, he should not. Yeah, that was such a ridiculous hire, and they're in trouble. They do that. There is a big series this weekend that I did not highlight. It would have been the fourth one if I had done four series. It's the White Sox and the Twins going head to head.
Big series.
Yeah, the Twins are 67 and 62. They're ahead of the White Sox in the standings in both the division and the wild card. Twins 1.5 games back of the Guardians, 3 games back in the wild card. They're currently 3 games ahead of the standings of the Chicago White Sox. So big series. I believe it's in Chicago. Big series. You guys can check that one out as well. Should be a fun one. The Twins have, I think, overperformed. Again, I think that's a part of being in that subpar division, and it should be it's going to be a fun weekend of baseball.
It's always a fun week of baseball. We're entering the best time of the year,
and that's why we've shifted to talking more about baseball in general, because the Nationals have been so bad. But I don't want Nationals fans to miss out on some really fun storylines, some really fun matchups. I've been doing these preview articles for every, you know, it comes out every Monday and every Friday, previewing the week series, just giving you guys an idea of what you can watch outside of the Nationals. And, you know, as great as it is to kind of check in on Ruiz, check in on Josiah Gray, check in on CJ Abrams, you're missing out if you're just focusing on the Nats right now, because there is a lot of fun baseball. We are down the stretch. We got playoff races, award races, prospects galore. We talked about Gunnar Henderson earlier in the show. Corbin Carroll made his debut for the Diamondbacks. There's all sorts of fun to be had as September roster expansion brings up some new prospects. So if you're a Nats fan, go watch some good baseball. There's a lot of it out there that, you know, won't depress you.
That is the big thing, because the Nats are depressing, but coming into September, it's playoff time, football starting up, the weather's getting colder. You have six teams within, you know, six games in the AL wild card, which is going to be fun. You got the main, it's just a four-team race in the NL, but, well, three-team. Atlanta's pretty high up. Philly, San Diego, Milwaukee are all neck and neck. One of them's got to give. The Mets are only three games ahead of the Braves. That's going to be a fun one. There's good baseball to have. It's happening all around. Make sure you guys tune in. The Orioles are only 1.5 game back. Do they get it? You know, there's a lot of fun, fun things happening. A lot more fun than that. There's not much, not much greatness happening here.
Yeah. So final question. You've got to watch, you can only watch one series this weekend. Which one is it?
That's a good question, Monty. But, you know, I think I'm going to go Mariners Guardians.
I like pitching. That one should be a fun pitching matchup. I'm going to stick with the Padres and Dodgers, even though that's been a one-sided affair. The atmosphere in it's going to be electric. Going to be a lot of fun. And again, I just watching Soto and Machado go back to back. That's the series I'm going with. The only thing is I'm not excited about that ESPN broadcast, but
not my ESPN broadcast.
But yeah, that'll be it for us today. It's been fun. We'll be back trying to be a little bit more consistent with our episode releases. Not sure if we're probably at least once back to getting once a week. I'll be here. Nick should be here at some point. Ryan, I'm just happy to be able to talk baseball with you all the time. You can follow Ryan at We Are All Shaq on Twitter. Who came up with that Twitter handle? Do you remember?
That was me.
Wow. Okay.
Because it was originally I Am Shaq, but Shaq is omnipresent and Shaq is in all of us, like Voldemort's Horcruxes. So we are all Shaq.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and find the receipts that prove that I actually gave that to you.
No, that was all me. No one else.
You can follow me at Monty2740. You can follow the main account at Half Street High Heat. And that's going to be street with just ST, not the full spelled out. Looking forward to watching baseball this weekend. Take it easy.
Later.
There's a new breeze blowing off the banks of the Potomac. A new team's mowing down the ranks of their opponents. The Nationals are smashing balls, so that the commentator who has the calls has passed the wall to see you later. Let's go Nats. We've got a game to play. We're gonna win today. Let's go. By the early light of dawn, well, you can see they're running scared, cause the kinds of bombs we're launching are bursting in the air. Tell the Library of Congress that they might not wanna look, cause we're putting curly W's in every book. Let's go Nats. We've got a game to play. We're gonna win today. Let's go.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.